Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. Praise, good to see you. You know, it's actually spring break at our school and for the county here. And so, you know, last week we had a really, really, really good crowd. But people actually stayed because it was our 40th anniversary and my 70th birthday. But people actually stayed, and we appreciate that. But then they went off there at the beach or whatever. Maybe many of them are watching this online. So we're glad you're there. Or maybe you're traveling today, so don't watch this online. Hold on to the steering wheel. Praise God. But anyway, we're glad you're here this morning. Now, the guys brought these offering plates back up here this morning because Reverend Tony, Brother Tony right there, had an experience in the Lord recently, and it involved the church. So I want to invite him to come up here and to share that with us. We have confidence. Amen. And glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. You know, the Lord's been doing some good things around here lately, you know, different things in the spirit, and I don't know, it just seems like we've stepped up a notch. Not that we were down, but it's just like we're stepped up a notch. And the other day, I'll say this here, let's see, I had a vision from the Lord, and I've had these before, you know, and every time they're just right on, and the Lord showed me something, and you know, I thank God I'm still have visions. You know, it says in Joel, you know, your old men will dream dreams, and young men will have visions. I thank God I'm still young. but I had this vision from the Lord, and He showed me, and we're just going to act it out here. But there's a couple verses I just want to read to you. And it's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 4. And it says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, you know, our gifts are right here before the altar here. And, you know, we give these unto the Lord. You know, we don't give them to Pastor John, Pastor Mark, you know, me or anybody else. We give them as unto the Lord. At least we should think that way. But the Lord showed me that a lot of people, and I've been in this situation before, a lot of people are not receiving from God. They're not receiving what He has for them, because they're walking around in strife and division and unforgiveness. Now, God can't, he just can't bless that. And we have to lay that aside. You know, there's qualifiers. You know, like the word says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. You know, and God gives back through us, through men, through our jobs and things like that. But if you've been walking around broke, busted, and disgusted, you know, you need to ask yourself, hey, something's going on. You know, I'm giving my tithe and my offerings faithfully, and something is just not right. And you got to look in with inside yourself. And that's what the Lord showed me. I had to look inside myself. And I had to get rid of some junk in my life, some feelings for some people, before His blessings would start coming back in my life. And I don't know if that makes sense to you. I hope it does. But, you know, today at 3 o'clock, they're going to race NASCAR today. I think it's down in Atlanta. And to be able to get in that big race, you had to qualify. You had to qualify. Now, everybody that starts in that race gets something. They get a purse, some kind of money, because they qualified. And this is one thing that the Lord showed me that we have to qualify about. I mean, are we qualified to receive that, what He has for us back? And I just want to take just a minute, and I wanted to share that with you about look within yourself. Look within inside yourself and ask yourself, do I have anything going on in here? Do I have any hard feelings? Do I have anything within me that's keeping me from receiving your best for me, Lord. And I'm going to pray here in just a second, and we're going to ask ourselves. I'm just asking you to ask within yourself. Oh, yeah, I'm in this. There's mine too. Ask yourself, do I have any hard feelings? Do I have any unforgiveness? Am I not right? You know, you can get right with the Lord just like that. And you can say, Lord, forgive me. You know, I had this falling out with my buddy or my family member or whatever. And the Lord will forgive you just like that. Just like that. And you might have to go to him and talk to him later. But I just want to pray right quick, and we're going to bless this. You know, I've seen Brother Hagin at Rhema, and Kenneth Copeland, and Norval Hayes. I've seen them. You know, take an hour to teach and explain on the offering. Now, I'm not going to do that. Don't get worried. Don't get nervous. You know, And I think it's a good thing because sometimes it helps us to see things that we're not seeing. But I just want to ask before we turn these offerings over to the Lord, let's just pray and ask the Lord if there's anything within us that would keep us from receiving from him today. Father, I just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for each and every one here that has given today, Lord. Father, I come to you with an open, pure heart today, and I ask, Lord, that you just receive my offering and everyone else's here's offering today, Father God, with a pure heart and pure motives. Lord, I thank you, Father God. I have no malice towards anyone. I wish no harm on anyone, Lord. And, Father, I thank you. Now, with that being said, Lord, I thank you, Father God, that blessings and increase are coming my way. I thank you that blessings and increase are coming the way of everyone who has given today. I ask that you bless this money. Bless it in the name of Jesus. Bless it, Father God. Bless these people. Let them receive abundantly, Father God, from your good hand. And Father, I thank you today. I thank you that you hear this prayer. And I thank you, Father God, that this helps someone out here today, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tony. Praise God. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to Charles Capp's daughter last week, just for a few minutes on TV, Tony. And she said, you know, she said, Dad believed that unforgiveness was the sin unto death. That doesn't mean you physically die, but you experience. In other words, because the scriptures are teach so much on that, and it blocks the flow of the power of God in your life, and it opens the door to the devil. So your faith doesn't work, your prayers don't work, the door's open to the devil. So he actually believed that was the sin unto death, having unforgiveness in our lives. Praise God. So thank you for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we had a nice Sunday last week. Like I said, people especially stayed, even though it was spring break, and we appreciate that. And you know, I personally was super abundantly blessed, praise God. You know, I enjoyed opening the cards and reading the cards, and there was a lot of nice things in the cards that people said, especially this year. And it's kind of funny, I was opening the cards, you know, and I get a $100 bill, and then I get a $25 bill, and I get a $50 bill, and I get a $70, then I get a $50 bill, then I get $100, and I get a $70, and then I get a $70 gift certificate, and a $70 gift certificate to the Harley shop. And I went, you know, 70, that's a little unusual. I mean, 70, a gift certificate for 70. Then I get another $70 check, and I'm going, my lightning brain finally went, aha, I'm turning 70. And so people are giving me $70. And then to make sure that I got that, El Tonio sitting right there said, and he and Renita said, here's a cool 70 to the cool pastor who is turning the big 70. Amen. So, you know, and then they gave me another card, and it was far beyond 70, but for the anniversary. But then he said over to the side, you know, and always remember, 70 is not old if you're a tree. And you meant that, didn't you? Praise God. And then Gary warned us about the card that came from him and Terry. He said, you might want to be careful opening that. So we kind of saw a card that we recognized the handwriting. It was big, fat. She's scolding him now for warning him. But have no fear. It worked, you know. And so we opened this card, and it's filled with glitter. I mean, filled with glitter and confetti. I think I have some on me right now. You know, I mean, it's filled with glitter and confetti, and it has 71 bills in it. So, you know, that's a big roll. I felt like a big dog, you know, with that. We took Svetlana, you know, to see the movie Jesus Revolution the other day, and I counted out $27 to him right there, $1 bills. Praise God. But anyway, we were super abundantly blessed, and we had a good day. Amen. FYI, I think we mentioned this back at the time it happened, but you know, a New Hope Baby Bottle Boomerang is a fundraiser for New Hope Pregnancy Center, Right to Life, you know, and not aborting your kids and so forth. And so our school kids raised $4,430 for Baby Boomerang. Amen. And then last week, FYI, because we talked about, you know, Operation Blessing and giving to the needy and giving to the poor and just giving to somebody that has a need. But Svetlana was here, and we gave her monthly support. You know, we support her on a monthly basis. But we also, from Operation Blessing, and this is apart from everything else we do, but from Operation Blessing, because she's going back to Ukraine in June. And so we gave Heart to Heart International, you know, Svetlana Ministries, $500 to help with humanitarian aid in the Ukraine. Can you say amen? Praise God. I have a handout for you this morning that we're going to use as a part of the message. And so our guys are going to see that you get, there's enough, everybody can have their own copy. So if you'd see that they get a copy of that, praise God. Amen. And you could go ahead and find the book of Philemon this morning. You're not excited about Philemon. You know, one day you're going to meet him in heaven, and he's going to ask you if you read his book. Philemon. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Philemon. Well, you're going to meet him. I don't know if he's going to ask you if you read your book. Philemon. Glory to God. That's right before Hebrews. Because you see, they're not sure that Paul wrote Hebrews. I'm convinced he did. And the New Testament books are given in order of the writers. And so you have all of Paul's writings, and it ends with Philemon or Hebrews. Philemon. We've been teaching on, glory to God, they're passing those out to you. We've been teaching on 12 ways to experience God's best in your life. How many of you want God's best in your life? Amen. If you got God's best, then you can be a blessing. And that's why we want to experience God's blessed, so that we'll be blessed and so that we will be a blessing to others and one that advances the kingdom of God, one that is useful in the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be useful and productive and fruitful in the kingdom of God. And we've listed some of these so far, and we said, number one, stay in the light and never, don't ever allow the devil to condemn you. Can you say amen? Number two, have a joyful, positive, hope-filled attitude and expectation of good things. Praise God, we should always expect good things from God. Amen, and we should refuse to accept anything that comes from the devil. So accept, amen, or let me put it this way, expect and refuse. Expect good things from God and refuse anything that comes from the devil. Jesus redeemed you from those things, so you don't have to have them. Glory to God. You know, it's said that Evelyn Roberts, old Robert's wife, they said Evelyn, they said she did this every day, all day long, every day of her life. Every time the phone rang, she said, that might be my miracle. I'm expecting that to be my miracle. That could be my miracle. That could be a miracle coming to me. You know, because her husband Earl taught that miracles are either coming your way, coming to you, or passing you by. Praise God. They said she would open the door, but before she opened it, she'd go, that could be a miracle for me. That could be my miracle. She'd get in the car to drive somewhere and say, I may be going somewhere and come in contact with somebody that's going to give me a miracle. She just had an expectation of good things from God, and we all should. And we should not accept anything that comes from the devil, which leads us to number three. We said, stand your ground against the devil and resist anything that comes from him. Can you say amen? Then number four, we said, learn the secret of faith. Which is, what is the secret of faith? Bottom line is to believe that you right now have what you asked for. I was praying with somebody yesterday, and they were obviously in a lot of pain and experiencing a lot of suffering, and they were in essence begging God to heal them. And I said, we got to get this in the right tense here, because they know the Word of God. I said, you've got to start thanking God and praising God that He has healed you. You believe He has. You've asked Him to heal you. You believe He's healed you. Now thank Him. Count it as done. Count it as done. That's the secret of faith, that you count the thing as done. You ask for it, now you count it as done. Even though it doesn't look like it's done, or feel like it's done, or seem like it's done, you count it as done. Or you find out that the Word of God says you're this or that. And so regardless of what your senses tell you, what your mental reasoning says, you believe you have something that God promised you in His Word. You believe you have the answer to your prayer. Say, I count it as done. Faith counts the thing as done, praise God. You know, Brother Hagin said, this is the make it or break it point when it comes to faith. He said, this is what separates the men from the boys when it comes to faith. And he says, that is where you call those things which be not as though they were. Amen. Will you say and confess that you have what God says you have, even though it's not true in the natural? It doesn't seem true in the natural. It doesn't look true in the natural. But you say, according to the Word of God, I am healed. According to the Word of God, I am blessed. According to the Word of God, I am forgiven. According to the Word of God, I am delivered. According to the Word of God, my prayer is answered, regardless of what I feel, regardless of what it seems like. I have it now. It's mine in Jesus' name. See? And so will you believe and say that your prayer has been answered and that you have received what you prayed for, even though you can't see it? That's calling those things that be not as though they were. And I'm telling you, because you truly believe, you say that you have it. And if you'll truly believe that you have it and say that you have it before anything changes in the natural, then you will experience great results. Praise God. And then we said, number five, be a committed giver. A committed giver. And I don't want to reteach in all of that, but some of you may not have heard that. But you know, Psalm 37:19 says, In the days of famine, they, that's talking about the righteous in context, in the days of famine, the righteous will be satisfied. Even in the days of famine, the righteous will be satisfied. Understand that word satisfied means they will be abundantly supplied. They will have plenty. Even in famine, the righteous will be abundantly supplied. They will have plenty. Let me give you another word for famine. How about economic downturn? How about recession? How about unusually high inflation? How about depression? See, famine leads to difficult financial situations. The Israelites were an agricultural society, and so if their crops didn't do good and they experienced famine for whatever reason, then that affected them economically. Amen. And it's interesting when you study this out, you know, and of course you know this, but famine can be caused by crop failure. Famine can be caused by war. Famine can be caused by natural disasters. And I actually looked it up, the word famine, up on Wikipedia, and it said that one of the factors that could lead to famine is bad government policies. Yeah. The government can do some stupid, unwise things and cause things to cost money that, you know, that and there to be a downturn. And of course, all this leads to people not being able to adequately provide for their needs and their families. Amen. And there's greater and lesser degrees of this. And you understand that the world system comes in cycles. It's very cyclical. You know why? Because it's based on a system that in part is flawed. Because it's not based on the biblical principle of trust God as your source and sow and reap in faith. Glory to God. I got good news for you. There are no famines in heaven. There's no inflated prices in heaven. There's no recession in heaven today. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply. That the word shall supply means abundantly, liberally, filled to the full, filled to overflowing. My God shall abundantly supply all of your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And there's no problem with His riches in glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And so even in the days of famine, now listen. That doesn't work for you automatically. Just like none of the scriptures work for you. You're not automatically blessed. The children of Israel didn't automatically go into the promised land. They had to take a step of faith and obey God to get there. And so in order for this scripture to be true in your life so that you don't suffer and do without during economic hardship or downturn or unusually high inflation is you have to believe that's so. And of course, then this isn't the only scripture in the Word of God that talks about finances. You know, our point is be a committed giver. If we operate and believe in God's financial system, which in a nutshell is, you recognize that God is your source. God is your source. Praise God. And you give, you sow. Now watch this. In faith. You just don't give. You do it in faith. Glory to God. Because you cannot reap without first sowing. And you cannot reap unless you sow in faith. So Luke 6:38 says, give. Starts with giving. That's where it starts. If there's no giving, the rest of the scripture can't come to pass. And we know from other biblical principles that how do we give? Again, in faith. Everybody say in faith. In faith. And so when you give in faith, then God takes over. And it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Glory to God. How about that? Can you say amen? But it all starts with giving in faith. Amen. And so we said when we were teaching along those lines, we need to stay out of fear, especially, you know, there were times when the natural economy was doing good, but my personal economy, for whatever reason, was in a deep depression. During those times, you need to stay out of fear and keep on giving, keep on sowing, keep on trusting God, keep on expecting God to take care of you. Glory to God. Now, number six, and this is new. Number six, this is what we really want to teach on this morning. Number six in our list is this: carefully watch what you say. Carefully watch what you say. Don't ever let anything come out of your mouth that would violate your faith, what God says about you, your faith in God, or your love walk. Don't ever let anything come out of your mouth that would violate your faith or your love walk. You know, some people mock and criticize the importance of our words. You know, they talk about that name it and claim it cult and grab it and blab it and so forth. But you know, it was Jesus that said, whosoever shall say or confess, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe whatever he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Amen. And you know, Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Think about that. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Well, it doesn't get any more serious than that. I said, does it? The Amplified Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who indulge it will eat the fruit of it for death or for life. They will bear the consequences of their word. The Message Bible said, words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. And the way the words become, cause us to experience death, not just physically die, but to experience everything that's a result of sin and death, like depression and heartache and pain and shame and guilt and fear and sickness and disease. You know, that's all the product of death and sin. And so how do you with your words experience death? Because you talk doubt and fear and unbelief, or you use your words to injure other people and to hurt other people and to speak evil of other people. See, it's a two-sided coin. So words give life or they kill. They're either poison or they're fruit. You choose. And then the book of James. I'm mentioning this because we're going to go a different way this morning and we're about to get there. But James says, the tongue is like a small rudder on a large ship. The rudder controls the direction of that whole ship. Your whole life, your whole future is controlled by the words that come out of your mouth. James also said it's like a little spark of fire that can destroy an entire forest fire, an entire forest rather. You see, this great big thousands and thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of acres burned down, and all started with just one little spark. And the Bible says that's the way your tongue is. And it controls your future. So again, words and confession are vital to us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, since we have the same spirit of faith, we believe, and therefore we speak. Amen. So words are powerfully important. Others, you know, don't really discount the importance of words, but in everyday reality, it's quite obvious they don't pay any attention whatsoever to what they say. They don't pay any attention to the way they talk about other people. They don't pay any attention to what they say about themselves and confess over themselves. And they don't pay any attention about, you know, saying things that contradict the truth of God's Word. Somebody said not taking your word seriously is like driving your car and not taking your steering wheel seriously. You know, how many of you know if you don't take your steering wheel seriously, you're liable to end up in the ditch. Amen. Now, Philippians 1. Here's what we want to get to. Philippians 1, verse number 6. Hidden right here in the book of Philemon. Not Philippians, but Philemon is an extremely, extremely, extremely important principle. Philemon 1:6 says that the communication, New King James says the sharing, and we'll get into that word in a minute and see what it really means, but I'm going to use the King James, that the communication of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And if you go back to verse number 4, Paul said, I thank my God making mention of you in my prayers, verse 5. And so verse 6 is actually a prayer. He's saying, I'm praying that the communication of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Instead of constantly putting ourselves down and being overly critical of ourselves, we should acknowledge who we are in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says that you are accepted in Christ Jesus and that you are blameless in Christ Jesus. See, we should say and confess what God says about us. That's what the Scripture is talking about. You have to understand, we'll get into it a little deeper in a moment, but the word acknowledge carries with it the idea of declaring and confessing what you know to be true. To acknowledge something is to declare it to be so. Amen. Is to confess it to be so. And the Greek word confession literally means to say the same thing. Most of us, when we hear the word confession, we think about confessing our sins. Well, when God says you sin, then just you agree with God that you sinned. You don't deny it. You don't say it's not a sin. You just agree with God. That's wrong. That's a sin. So you agree with God. That's what it literally means, to say the same thing. So yes, we acknowledge and say the same thing and confess our sins. Amen. But we also are to acknowledge, now listen, we are to acknowledge and say the same good things that God says about us in His Word. We are to agree with God. If God says we're forgiven, then we are not to disagree with God. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what it looks like or smells like. You are to say, according to God, who is a million, billion, trillion times smarter than I am forgiven. You may feel rejected, but God says you're accepted in the Beloved. So you say, according to the Word of God, I am accepted. You agree with God. You say the same thing. That's what confession literally means. And years ago, I saw this in the Layman's Bible Encyclopedia. It says, confess means to acknowledge one's sins, all right. But in the New Testament, the word confess more often means to declare or admit that something is true. To declare or admit that something is true, especially that Jesus is Lord. You confess that Jesus is Lord. You confess that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed. You confess that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You confess that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Brother Hagin said, few Christians realize the place that confession holds in God's scheme of things. And that is to be regretted. It is to be regretted. Whenever we hear the word confession, people invariably think of confessing sins, weaknesses, and failings. This is the negative side of confession. But there is a positive side, and the Bible has more to say about the positive aspects of confession than the negative. The dictionary says that confess means to acknowledge or to own, to acknowledge faith in. To confess, according to the dictionary, means to make confessions of one's faults, but it also means to make confession of one's faith. We can confess our faith. So we should say the same thing God says about us. You may not feel like you have what God says you have. You may not feel like you can do what God says you can do. You may not feel like you are who God says you are. But you know, you go ahead and just say what God says about you because you believe His Word more than you believe His feelings and because you're walking by faith and not by sight. Every once in a while, not too often, I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I've gotten up at 4 o'clock in the morning and thought, it doesn't feel like it's 4 o'clock in the morning. But it doesn't matter what I feel like, it is 4, regardless of how I feel. And that's the way it is with God. What God's Word says about you is true regardless of your feelings. And you know that's so, don't you? So we should acknowledge and confess every good thing in us because of Jesus. All right, so let's look at this scripture here carefully. It says that the communication of your faith is made effective. How many of you want your faith to be productive? How many of you want your faith to be effective? How many of you want your faith to work? If your faith works, then you, if it's operational, then you get what you're believing for. And it says the communication of your faith. The word communication here in the Greek means the release of, the transferal of, or the transmission of. Listen carefully. The release of. In other words, your faith is released. Your faith is activated. You can have faith, but you've got to activate it. You've got to release it. It's got to get out of your heart. Your faith is released and therefore starts working. It becomes operational. It produces. It starts functioning. And when it functions, you get what you ask for. You get what you believe for. Your faith is released. It's activated by the acknowledgement of every good thing in you in Christ. Amen. Praise God. Let me say that again. You want your faith to be operative. You want it to work. You want it to produce. And so you got to release your faith. You have to activate your faith. And the way you activate your faith so that it is productive is by acknowledging every good thing that you have in Christ. Glory to God. And now the Greek word acknowledgement kind of has two different connotations. To acknowledge comes from the root word gnosis, which means knowledge. And that means, you know, that you have an exact knowledge, an intimate knowledge. You really understand the truth. You see it for yourself. You get it. You get it. It comes alive to you and it leads to faith. You know, John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It doesn't say the truth makes you free. It says your knowledge of the truth makes you free. Your intimate, accurate, really understanding the truth, because it leads to faith. You see it. It comes alive and you see it. And so that sets you free. And so it means to have a thorough, to acknowledge. Acknowledgement means, the Greek word acknowledgement, watch this. To have a thorough and deep, intimate knowledge and full understanding of something. That's part of the definition. Thorough, deep, intimate knowledge, full understanding of something that you recognize and declare or confess to be true because you believe it. Acknowledge something has two parts. It's knowledge, real knowledge, deep knowledge, intimate knowledge that you declare to be true, that you confess to be true. If you don't say it, then it's not acknowledging. If you acknowledge it, you say, I recognize that's the truth. I see it. I understand it. And so it's the truth. And I say it's the truth. Everybody say, I say it's the truth. So to acknowledge is to know something, is to believe something, and is to confess something. Hallelujah. So what are our faith begins to work and produce results. Glory to God. When your faith produces results, then you get it. Our faith begins to work and produce results when we acknowledge and confess all of the good things that are ours in Christ Jesus, or all the good things that we are in Christ Jesus. See, the Bible is a legal document signed and sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything the Bible says is ours, is in fact ours legally. It is in fact ours spiritually. It is in fact ours in the spirit realm. But we want it to be true in the everyday natural realm where we live. By His stripes you are healed. That's true in the spirit. That's true legally. But you want to be able to experience that in everyday reality. And the way that you make it true in everyday reality is you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you have it, praise God. You acknowledge that it's true. Glory to God. See, it's our knowing the truth and believing the truth and confessing the truth that makes it real to us in everyday life. It's already real in the spirit realm, but I want it real in the natural realm in my everyday walk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And when we confess what the Word says about us, everybody say, because. Not just parroting what somebody else told you to do, But you confess or say what the Word of God says about you because you've got knowledge of it for yourself. You've seen it for yourself. Therefore, you believe it. So when you confess what the Word of God says about you because you believe it, then our faith is activated and it comes to pass in our lives. Can you say amen? And that's what this powerful little scripture is teaching us. Now, you got that handout. And I gave you this handout because I stumbled across this. I was already working on this message and stumbled across this by Rick Renner. And this is so powerful. You know, it's I don't know if you know this, but it's somewhat challenging in, for lack of a better term, because I don't public speaking, to read something to people. You know, you can read a paragraph, you can read two or three, but if you're going to read a page or two, you take some, you know. But by having it in your hands, you can follow along with me. You can see it with your own eyes. You can read it for your own self. You can hear me reading it to you. And then it'll have a impact on your life. And it'll help you. Plus, you can take it home and reread it again. Because he says some things about this little verse that are extremely powerful that I cannot say it any better than he says it. And he gives a really, really good example. So I want us to, we're gonna close by reading this. But listen, he quotes the scripture that the communication of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Follow with me. What kind of things do you say about yourself? Do you speak well of yourself? Are you hypercritical of your appearance, your weight, your intelligence, your talents, your skills, and every aspect of who you are as a person? I used to be so hypercritical of myself that one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "How dare you continually talk so bad about yourself after the good work I've done inside of you?" You know, we are created in Christ Jesus. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We've been born again, and God didn't create any unworthy new creatures. Don't you know how marvelously I created you to be in Christ Jesus? Quit speaking so negatively of yourself and start acknowledging every good thing that is in you. Then it'll be on the back page there. I didn't realize how badly I was speaking of myself until the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention. But after he spoke to me, I started noticing every time something slipped out of my mouth about myself. I was stunned to see how many times I did it. I became painfully aware that my own mouth had become one of my greatest enemies. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I made a decision to quit speaking such foul things and start aligning my mouth with what God's Word declares about me. Remember, confession literally means to say the same thing. You just say what God says. Paul said we need to speak good things about ourselves. In Philemon 1:6, he said that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. Amen. Today, I want you to pay a close attention to that last phrase, which says you may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, listen carefully as he teaches a little bit here. Even though God has done great things in you and planned a wonderful future for you, it is up to you to activate his blessings in your life. One of the greatest spiritual truths you can ever learn is whatever God has done for you or provided for you. The blessings of God are not automatically ours. They must be received. They must be appropriated by faith. They must be activated. It's up to you to activate his blessings in your life. This is why Paul says that the communication of their faith may become effectual. The word effectual in the Greek is energio. It is where we get the word energy. However, in this word, the word energio carries the idea of something that has suddenly become energized or activated. Paul's words could actually be rendered that the communication of your faith may become energized and activated. Let me give you an example to help you understand what this word means in the context of this verse. An automobile may be filled with enough fuel to drive a long distance, but it won't go anywhere until somebody puts the key into the ignition and then turns the key. The moment the key is turned, the spark plugs are sparked, which fires up the engine. Once the engine has been activated, the potential in that car is ready to be really unleashed. The car has the capability of moving, but if it's never activated, it just sits there silently in the driveway. No matter how much fuel is in the tank or how much horsepower that car possesses, its power and potential will never be realized until somebody turns the key in the ignition. Now, let's not apply that to you. Philemon 1:6, the Apostle Paul wrote that every good thing has been placed in you by Jesus Christ. Think of it. He saved you, healed you, redeemed you. He protects you. He has given you a sound mind. He's given you the mind of Christ. He has imparted gifts and talents to you. And he has planned a future for your life that is simply glorious. You are loaded with phenomenal potential that is just waiting to be activated. You may say, well, I know the Bible says I've been given all these good things, but I don't feel like any of this is true about me. I feel so defeated. Even though the Word says I'm healed, the reality is I feel sick. Even though the Word says I have a sound mind, I continually feel like I don't have any control of my thought life. And in spite of the fact the Bible says that God has blessed me with gifts and talents, I feel like a dope who has nothing to offer to this world. There's a big gap between what the Bible says about me and what I feel about me. So how are you going to bridge that gap? Through faith, which means you believe something in your heart and confess it with your mouth. My friend, like a car that is loaded with enough fuel and horsepower to get anywhere you need to go, but that potential has to be released. You have to hold the key in your hand. You have to hold the key in your hand. Furthermore, it isn't enough just to possess the key. You have to put the key into the ignition and turn it so that the latent potential that resides inside you will be ignited. When you turn the key in the ignition, suddenly the potential you possess in Jesus is supernaturally ignited, activated, energized, and released in you. So what is the key that sparks all the good things that God has placed into you becoming an outward reality? What is the key that causes all that God declares about you to become manifested in your life? How do you turn the key to the ignition so that the great work that God has done inside you is activated and released? Paul says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The word acknowledging in this verse holds the answer to the above questions. The word is from the Greek word epignosis, which describes a well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the facts. The word epignosis pictures a person who knows the facts like a professional. There's a person so sure of his, this person is so sure of his information that when he speaks, he does so with confidence and boldness. He has no reason to be ashamed or to fear that others may accuse him of being incorrect because he is well instructed and has intensive, deep knowledge of the facts. But how do you obtain such knowledge of the facts? No one becomes this knowledge accidentally. So what you've got to do is you've got to meditate in the Word, you've got to read the Word, you've got to study the Word, you've got to hear the Word preached, you've got to dig into the Scriptures and dig and dig and dig until it explodes as a divine revelation on the inside of you, until you know that you know that you know that you know, until it's so big on the inside of you that it's bigger than anything you see, bigger than anything you feel, bigger than any of your emotions, nobody can beat it out of you with a baseball bat. Praise God. That's when you know that you know that you know. Glory to God. And so turn the page and skip over there. Second paragraph. Amen. It says, now Paul uses the same idea when he says we are to acknowledge every good thing that is placed in Christ Jesus. Of course, this means we are to confess the truth. See, he's recognizing that acknowledge means confess. This means we are to confess the truth about ourselves, but before we can confess the truth, we must first know the truth, and I'll add, we must first believe the truth. Because the word epignosis depicts a well-instructive, intensive, deep knowledge of the facts, Paul is letting you know that it's essential for you to possess a knowledge of who you are in Jesus Christ, a knowledge of what Jesus has purchased in your redemption, a knowledge of every good thing that has been placed in you by Jesus Christ, a knowledge of all these truths that is so concrete and so unshakable that you are immovable in what you think and believe. If you don't know the facts of who you are in Christ Jesus, it's time for you to get serious about digging into the Bible until you know these truths like a professional. The truth about who you are in Jesus is the key to your victory. You should read, study, listen to teaching material. In other words, you should use every available resource to discover what God's Word says you've been given in Jesus Christ. This knowledge is the key that will set you free. However, merely possessing the key won't activate the realities in your life. You must put the key in the ignition and turn it, sparking those truths into manifestation. A key in the ignition switch does you no good unless it's turned. How many of you know that? The truth in your life does you no good until it's spoken. In other words, this is how you turn the key. This is how you turn it on, till you spoke it. The moment you open your mouth and start confessing the good things that you are in Jesus Christ, a supernatural connection is made between your faith and all that Jesus has deposited in you. At that moment, the gifts and treasures God has placed inside you become supernaturally activated. The confession of your mouth, your acknowledgement of the truth, is what sparks these spiritual blessings and causes them to become operative, activated, and manifested realities. In other words, you begin to experience them in everyday reality. It's not just a legal truth that's true in the spiritual realm. It's true in your everyday life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sadly, many people who know the truth remain in bondage because they never align their mouths with the truth. Instead of speaking what God's word says about them, they ridicule themselves, put themselves down, and speak badly of themselves. They possess all the potential that God has placed inside them, but they never experience that potential because their mouths have never sparked and activated these spiritual blessings into becoming manifested realities. To make these truths real in your life, you have to put the key in the switch. The key is the Word of God. The ignition is your mouth. The key is turned in the ignition when you open your mouth and start to speak. The good things in you are activated the moment you start confessing the truth. So the way to make these blessings real in your life, number one, thoroughly know them through diligent study. Number two, put these truths into your mouth and speak them out loud. This is how you turn the key. You see, it's time for you to stop speaking so badly about yourself. Or some people don't speak badly about yourself. Some people just don't say what God says. They do the opposite of what the Word of God says. The Word of God says we walk by faith and not by sight. They walk by sight, and they say and believe what they feel and what they see and what their circumstances tell them. I'm not, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, you can't say it any better. He said, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe God's Word. So we believe and say, we confess, we say the same thing as God's Word. Amen. Next, toward the end there, so quit talking negatively about yourself. Begin to bring the words of your mouth into agreement with the truth God has deposited in your life. God's Word says you're healed, so you begin to say you're healed. God's Word says you have the mind of Christ, so you begin to say you have the mind of Christ. God's Word says you're blessed, so you begin to say you're blessed. You turn the key in the ignition by getting your mouth in agreement with God's Word, and as you start speaking what God's Word says about you, all your potential will start becoming a manifested reality. Can you say amen? Stand up with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Hagin, you know, shortly after he was healed, he went to a church service, his whole right side of his face just became paralyzed. You know, when he smiled, it'd just be half a smile because the other side of his face was just paralyzed. So he had learned something about faith, been raised off that deathbed. He went to the altar for them to anoint him with oil. He said, he made his declaration of faith. He said, the second he lays hands on me, I will be healed. And so when he went up there and they laid hands on him, he said, glory to God, I got it, it's mine, I'm healed. Face is still. Faith calls those things which be not as though they were. His little friends, he's just a little teenager. And he's off with his little teenage friends, 17, 18-year-old teenage friends. And one of the girls said, well, did you get your healing when you were up there? He said, I certainly did. She said, how do you know? He said, because God's Word says I did. And she said, well, it doesn't look like you're healed. It's dark, you know, they're walking home. And she says, he got him over in the light and says, look at you, you're not healed, you're faith. He said, I'm healed, because God says, see, he confessed and said, I'm healed, because God says I'm healed. And they ridiculed him, you know, a little bit, made fun of him. They liked him, and they made fun of him. Got to the house, and she said, Mama, come over here. Ken says he's healed. Anybody can see he's not healed. Look at him. His face is still paralyzed on that side. But his mother, being wise, said, you know, he may know something more about faith than we do. And he certainly did. Praise God. You're healed. You believe. That means you accept it to be an absolute fact because you trust God, not because you see anything differently. And he says, blessed be God because of what the Word of God says, I am healed. He confessed that he was healed. And he stood on that for, you know, another 24 hours. And then he woke up and it was all gone. Glory to God. You see the difference. You see the difference. Because of Jesus and all he did for us, and because of who I am in Christ, because of who you are in Christ, we can boldly acknowledge certain things. So this morning, say this out loud. Say, I boldly acknowledge. I'm forgiven. I boldly acknowledge. I'm righteous in Christ. In Christ. I'm accepted. I'm not rejected. I'm accepted in the beloved. I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a sound mind. I'm redeemed. I'm delivered from every sickness and every disease because of Jesus. All of my needs are abundantly supplied, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what my checkbook says. I'm rich in Christ. Glory to God. I'm free. I'm free from the power of sin and the power of demonic activity in my life. In Christ, I am without blame. I can do all things through Christ, and I can overcome anything victoriously through Christ. The Holy Spirit, the mighty Holy Spirit, the greater one, lives on the inside of me, and He empowers me and blesses me and equips me to be a blessing and help to other people. Glory to God. Well, that's a lot to be thankful about. That's just a few things. But that's a lot to be thankful about, isn't it? That's a lot to rejoice about, isn't it? That's even something to shout about, isn't it? Well, let's just rejoice and shout about those great, wonderful truths. Amen. Just praise God. Thank God and rejoice about it. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're in Christ. We're in Christ. We're in Christ. We are everything the Bible says we are. We have everything the Bible says we have. We can do whatever God says we can do. Glory to God. And whatever God says I have, I'm not waiting for it to happen in the future someday. By faith, I declare that it's true in my life this very moment. Right now, I'm healed. Right now, I'm delivered. Right now, I'm blessed. Right now, I'm financially blessed. Right now, nothing has to change. Jesus already paid the price. He became poor, the Bible says, that you might be abundantly supplied. So we have it now. It's your believing it and confessing it that makes it real in everyday reality. Don't ever say anything other than what God. Just simply say what God says. Glory to God. Brother, are you healed? I'm healed. Well, you got that big knot on your arm. I didn't say I didn't have a big knot on my arm. I said I'm healed despite the knot because God says I'm healed. Glory to God. The knot goes away. Somebody says, well, I see you got your healing because the knot went away. You go, no, I was healed because God said I was healed. And because I believe it, the knot went away. I am who God says I am. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. Miracles, miracles, miracles happen when you operate this way. So start acknowledging, declaring to be true everything that you know, that you personally know is yours. Start acknowledging and declaring and confessing to be true. When you do, you release your faith. You activate your faith, and your faith is energized, activates, and works. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whoa, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Say it one more time with me before we go home. Say, I am who God says I am. I have right now what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, my faith is activated this morning. And you're dismissed. God bless you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.